to laugh your ass off.
I'm ashamed God made me a man.
I don't think God's doing a lot of bragging about it either.
What's happening, Captain?
We gotta come into that ending a little better.
That's like hitting a brick wall.
I know.
Hello. Hi. How are you? Oh, God. You're too kind. Too kind. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So what's going on, folks? Oh, my goodness. It's that time. Is this song too old? Does anybody get it? I mean, I love this song, Redbone, man. I don't even know what year, 70s maybe? Awesome stuff. Come and get your love, right here, on the Lesbian Lounge, brought to you by MyLesbianRadio.com. It's me, flying solo. Getting sick of it yet? I know I am. Sick of the sound of my own voice. And that's only because I am doing two shows a day on Tuesdays, because I have a broadcast on rainbowradio.fm Wednesdays, and then I try and get you a lesbian lounge for my lesbian radio as well. So by Tuesday night, I'm utterly sick of myself. But okay, whatever. It's good that you're here. It's good that you're here. I love that you're hanging in there with me as I flounder about on my own. I miss Donna horribly. We did have a few texts last week that were so funny, so fun. It was Wednesday, I think. I was listening to the broadcast of the Rainbow Radio Show and watching the Brit Awards at the same time. And I know all of you are well aware of Madonna taking a plunge down a flight of stairs on the Brit Awards on live television here in the UK on the biggest night of music. It's like the UK Grammys, and she hasn't been on the Brit Awards for like 20 years, so it was quite a build-up and quite a tumble. But as I was watching it, I was Skype texting with Donna while she was at work, and I said, oh my God, Madonna just fell. And of course, immediately, it was all over the internet, so I had sent her a link of it, and I'm proud to say that that made her the bearer of the news in the office. And all the gay boys went nuts, and it was a first because it hadn't even made it to the States yet. So, proud moment for me. Proud moment. Anyways, it was a quiet week, really. Nothing much to report on this end. Such is life sometimes. I told you guys before that poor Gemma has just been so busy at work. So on the weekends, we've really just been chilling out, trying to allow her to decompress, if you will. And that's what we did. We had a very super relaxed weekend. We watched movies, watched a lot of movies. We watched Horrible Bosses 2. Not quite as funny as the first one, but still funny. It's just their bickering, the three of them. Charlie Day, Jason Bateman, and what's his name? David Sudeikis? Is that his name? I don't even know. But anyways, it was pretty funny. And Jennifer Aniston, just that bit part of the horny dentist. I swear to God, the stuff that comes out of her mouth is so funny because it's Jennifer Aniston and she's talking about cock and balls and sex. And it's just absolutely hilarious. That part of it alone is worth watching. And then we watched Cuban Fury, which I don't know how well that did in the States, but over here it was kind of a big movie. Chris O'Dowd, Nick Frost, Olivia Colman, Rashida Jones in it. About a fat guy that works in a mundane job, and he likes to salsa dance, and he's very good at it, but he doesn't do it. He's embarrassed. He had a bad incident when he was a kid, so he doesn't do it. Doesn't do it anymore, and it was pretty funny. Needless to say, that was a good one. And then we watched The Love Punch with Emma Thompson, Pierce Brosnan. That was pretty good. I like Emma Thompson, so it was good. Gemma made these amazing, and I know you see this all over Facebook, these recipes now. Cauliflower is like the new kale, and they're everywhere, like cauliflower bites, cauliflower patties, cauliflower mash, cauliflower this, cauliflower that. So we've been dying to try it, and she made these little cauliflower cheese, garlicky, parsley type baked bites, and they were so good. So boring as that may sound, that was pretty cool. It was a highlight of the weekend. That's how relaxing and boring it was. not too much. Job update 2015, sucking hard, my friends, sucking hard. I don't really know. I guess I don't know what the protocol is here. Like, I don't know what the follow-up is. I don't know if you should badger these people to see if they got your CV or resume. I don't know. But anyways, I've put out a couple of resumes, not hearing anything back. So fuck that. I guess I will just try and make it as a writer. in the meantime, today is pretty much Stinky Tuesday. No Shower Tuesday. I love it. I love it. You know, Mondays I kick it off with a bang. You know, shower, do a little house cleaning, you know, get my mindset ready for the week. And then by Tuesday I have hit a brick wall and I don't shower. So welcome to that. It's pretty ripe. Pretty ripe in here, my friends. Pretty ripe in here. I just want to give a shout out to my mom going off to her yoga class today. And this is a brave move because she had cabbage for dinner. So I'm thinking that is going to be a pretty farty afternoon. So I told her to have her phone handy because when the moment strikes, you don't want to miss something like that on video. So that should be interesting. They do chair yoga. Her MS buddies and her do chair yoga, and it's a pretty cool thing. I love it. I love all her MS buddies, so shout out to them. I'm sure they're listening. Not even. You hear what I'm playing? I'm playing a little bit of Madonna because I have to. I mean, we'll get into the whole ordeal at the Brits. But first, just a few shout outs to Joe Schmooze. Missing you. Hoping everything is great. I know you're winding up with your treatment. We're sending good vibes and happy juju your way. Same for you, JJ, for being out there and helping her. I know she's coming back around next week, I think. So you guys enjoy that medical marijuana card together. It's a beautiful thing you've got there. This morning was a pretty cool morning for me. My normal routine, you know, like get up, have some coffee, hang out with the kitties for a little bit, you know, before I get started. And then usually about an hour into it, my mail comes shooting through the front door like a missile, like a heat-seeking missile. And it never ceases to amaze me that I am scared by it every day. Every day. I know it's coming. I know it's going to happen. Still scares the shit out of me every day. But today, even though my mail scared the shit out of me, I was delighted to find in my post the brand new Eek CD, Love, Loss, and Bowling. So I want to give them a huge shout out and say thank you very much. I'm holding it right now in my hot little hand, and I have molested it 6 ways from Sunday. Front, back, inside, inserts, everything, the CD itself. I just love it. I love the theme that we have here. Love, Loss, and Bowling. The girls love to bowl. It's all about a little bowling. But there's also a very interesting piece that winds through it, and that is the red thread. So I love that it carries all through the inside. The words to all the songs are in there. Donna and I are both mentioned in the thank yous, and that is so heartfelt, and I can't tell you how honored I am to even be mentioned in this. This is just huge. I've been talking a little bit about the launch, which is happening on March 28th. It's sneaking up on us, girls, up in the Midlands at a place called the Dark Horse in Moseley. If you're in the UK and you can get up to North England in the Midlands, please do come. It's going to be a phenomenal evening. We've got Beth Pryor is opening. There are all kinds of surprises planned. I know there's a major one that you guys are not even going to believe because I've managed to keep my mouth shut about this big secret, but it's a huge surprise. Again, please join us March 28th at the Dark Horse for the launch of Love, Loss, and Bowling by Eek with supporting act Beth Pryor. I will be your host for the evening, and I'm super thrilled that they even asked me to be involved. I can't tell you how much I love these people. I know I say it all the time and I talk about them all the time, but I just fucking love them. And I want you to love them as much. So go to eekmusic.co.uk and check them out. If you're interested in this CD, get with any one of the girls. Go to the Facebook page, go to the website. Do whatever you need to do. They will mail you out a CD. It's as simple as that. And you need to have this 10 phenomenal tracks, some you know, some brand new stuff on there. And you'll just want to have it. You'll want to have it and hold it and sniff it and love it and listen to it all the time. So please do that. Do that without a doubt. As I mentioned, I've got a show on rainbowradio.fm Wednesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, 8 p.m. right here in the UK. It broadcasts out live from the website. You just go to rainbowradio.fm, click on Listen Now, a button comes up, hit play, and boom, I am streaming out in your face. It's only an hour show. It's basically some of the stuff that you'll hear on this here show, more of a chat stuff, just a forum to talk, and a lot more music. So join me for that. There's also a chat room on the website down in the right-hand corner. It's a little difficult to get into, but if you're part of our Facebook group, I will try and be mindful to post the link in there, and you can join us in the chat room too, just like old times, except you'll be at work, so put your earbuds in. I don't want to get anybody fired. What else is going on? I don't know if you read about this in the news, but there were two lesbians in Ireland, in Limerick, Ireland, and they were, I think, walking back from having a late night meal, and they were attacked. They were attacked in the street. It was a homophobic attack. They were victims of some serious abuse. They were actually beaten up and bleeding and unconscious, left in the streets. Thankfully, someone found them, got them help, and they are recovering. And this story was, it went viral. It was everywhere. But one of the Elfesters had posted it in the Elfest group on Facebook, and everybody kind of jumped on it and said, is there something we can do? And people started saying, I would donate, you know, can we get them to Elfest? Can we get them a ticket? And within hours, they had set up a GoFundMe account, and boom, just a few hours later, £300 already. Their goal is 1,000, and that would more than cover the girls' expenses to get over, you know, a flight and accommodations, their tickets, everything would be covered. It would be effortless. And, you know, maybe it would just take their mind off of what happened for a little bit, you know, and you hear me talk about Elfest all the time. It is such a phenomenal weekend of connecting and positivity, and you know, you really come away with a sense of community, and the girls are fabulous. There's music, there's arts, there's workshops, there's comedy, and it would just be fantastic for them to maybe have a little bit of a diversion, and hopefully show them, you know, again, something positive that came out of all this. So I'm really impressed that everybody, you know, kind of stepped up. I know I threw a couple of bucks towards it, and I hope you guys will too. You can go, I think, to the Elfest Facebook page, and there's a link in there for the GoFundMe. I just think it's amazing how we all pull together when something bad happens. And I haven't posted on my blog, AmericanLesInLondon.blogspot.com. I haven't written in quite a while, and I feel terrible, but all my other writing just kind of got in the way in the podcast and whatnot. But something was on my mind, and I just needed a forum to vent a little bit. And that was Channel 4 had a show on called Cucumber, and they had another one, Cucumber, Banana, and Tofu. It was a series of television programs created by Russell T. Davies, who is also the creator of Queer as Folk over here in the UK before it was picked up in the States. But he's a very celebrated and well-known TV writer here in the UK. He's done a couple issues of Doctor Who, I think. And everybody was really looking forward to it. The build-up was incredible. The concept was pretty interesting. There was the main show was Cucumber, and all the different characters, the way they were interwoven into the script and presented. Then they each kind of spawned off, and when you watched the other program, Banana, their character stories were developed a bit more, and so there were different storylines for some of the characters that were minor characters in Cucumber. And then Tofu was an online, on-demand kind of thing where you could go behind the scenes and the cast would talk about their experiences and whatnot. So it was really something that was, it was an interesting project. Like, it really caught my attention, and everybody was really looking forward to it, and it was getting really good ratings. And I watched the first episodes of both Cucumber and Banana, and all, you know, it was entertaining, and it was different, and I really kind of dug the concept of, when you watched Cucumber, there were two main characters, Henry and Lance, a gay couple, who had been together for 9 years, and they didn't have sex because Henry had issues about having sex. So it was a huge problem in the relationship. They ended up breaking up and kind of going off in different directions. And you know, there were parts that were, like I said, that were really entertaining, like watching Henry kind of feel his way, you know, being single again. He moves into a flat with a bunch of younger gay guys, and I think by watching them and the way they celebrate their sexuality and go at it and everything was, you know, hopefully, like, my thinking was that he was going to resolve his issues and get back together with Lance. Lance had moved on. He became infatuated with a straight co-worker of his who was leading him on a little bit and dabbling a little bit, had a few sexual acts with Lance or whatever, and you think the guy's finally going to get some from this straight co-worker, and instead, in the fifth episode, the guy whacks Lance in the head with like a fucking 9-iron and kills him. And it was just wasn't what I was expecting, and it really upset me that we just can't have some gay television on that had a little bit of positivity, especially after, you know, reading this article about this real life incident that happened in Ireland to these two girls. And then I got to, you know, I just want to be entertained. I see a gay program, I'm excited, something I wanted to be proud of. And instead, they go for the cheap, dramatic, you know, twist. And I hated it. I just hated it. And I had to vent. So if you're interested in reading my bitchy blog about it, it's up on AmericanLesInLondon.blogspot.com. Have a look, see what you think. If you watched it, let me know what you thought about it. It seems to be spawning some interesting conversation. And then I want to give a huge shout out to Heads Hearts. I know I said it before, but I'm very excited that they're expecting their first baby, Amber and Claire. So happy for you guys. They're back in action on May 1st. They'll be headlining for Hotbox at Proud Camden. And they're on the bill with a delicious Me and Debo. So that should be a fun night. So keep your diaries open. May 1st. That's very exciting. Congratulations, you guys, on everything. So, okay, let's address the 56-year-old elephant in the room. And that is Madonna taking a tumble at the Brit Awards. Like I said, it was really an oh my God moment. Like, it was so OMG. It wasn't funny. It was stunning. It could have been so much worse. You know, wardrobe malfunction. I know you've all seen it a million times. It was just absolutely hideous. And we've all had a pretty good laugh about it. And thank God Madonna, I mean, has a sense of humor. She actually got right on Instagram after the show and said, I'm fine. Your love lifted me up. If you listen to the words to the song, it really makes sense. But anyways, she was on the Jonathan Ross show, I think later in the week, and she did say that she had quite a bump on her head and her hip. But, you know, here's my thoughts. That she took a lot of shit for people who were saying, you know, 56 years old, give it up. You're tired old hag or whatever, and having a good laugh about it or whatever. But my thoughts are, like, if she wasn't in the shape that she was in, that could have been so much worse. So much worse. So I kudos for her for getting up, finishing the song, acting like a professional. I mean, it was quite a moment. I'm sure that's not how she wanted to headline the news after a 20-year absence from the Brits. And like I said, the show itself is such a hot fucking mess. It's like going to a talent show at your high school gymnasium. It's just hideous to watch. Kanye West just sucked up the joint. He was horrible. His song was so blatantly awful, and the lyrics are so bad that they muted half of it. You know, it was really like the Sam Smith show. I mean, he cleaned up again, and rightfully so. I mean, his album has been nothing short of phenomenal. I mean, it's been everywhere. The guy's got an amazing sound, and he's out, and he's proud, and he, you know, he went through some shit to get where he's at, and he deserves the awards. Not to say that I'm a little bit sick of him by any means. I just played Money on My Mind, but in all fairness, he deserved them. And Ed Sheeran was a big winner too. Not a huge fan of the Pumpkin-Headed Ginger. Taylor Swift. It was kind of like the Taylor Swift variety show. I mean, she did wonderful. She did good. Her performance was good. She did her usual dancing in the front row like an idiot, having a good time. And thanking everybody, all her friends and whatnot. It was really, it's a weird, weird show. It's like the, it really, nobody's really paying attention. The hosts can't get anybody's focus. Their jokes always fall flat. The presenters are not with it at all. You have so few performances. I loved Paloma Faith. I just love her new song, and I think that, you know, for me, she was the standout moment in the whole show. and so that ending with Madonna taking a tumble was quite fitting for the piece of crap show that it is. Anyways, in other news, congratulations to Linda Perry and Sarah Gilbert welcoming new baby boy Rhodes Emilio Gilbert Perry. And if you know anything about Sarah Gilbert, you will know this kid will be raised as a true Californian. And with two lesbian moms, he will likely be a vegan and a basket weaving hippie, if I'm not mistaken. It should be interesting. I think they'll be great parents. And, you know, we love seeing stuff like this in the news, and we're so happy for them. Big news this week, too. Orange is the New Black announced that it will be releasing season 3 on Netflix on June 12th. So, everybody, let's meet back here on June 13th and discuss all 13 episodes. It'll all be over with in a flash, folks. So, be careful. Really think about how you want to do this. Like, do you want to binge on this and then on June 13th walk around feeling empty? I don't know. I did it last year, and I feel like when you binge watch, that you come away feeling like you won't get to the next season for 2 fucking years. If you drag it out even just a little bit, it might not seem as long. I don't know. I'm struggling with it, but we've got a little time. We've got a little time to make these choices and this big decision. But it's all happening on June 12th. I know House of Cards was just released earlier this week, and people are done already. Went all through it. Same thing. I'm hearing good and bad. I've only gotten to midway through season 1, and then I don't know why we just stopped. And we are the proud owners of Amazon Fire. We have the Amazon Fire box and Netflix, so that we don't have any excuses other than that. There's so much other stuff out there. Like, we're right now, like, we're weekend junkies. We've been watching Freaks and Geeks. I'm almost embarrassed. Like, I stopped for a minute. We've been watching Freaks and Geeks marathon. It was a short-lived series from way back. But we watch a couple of episodes every weekend, and I gotta tell you, it is the funniest thing to see these faces: James Franco, Seth Rogen, Busy Phillips, Joanna Garcia. I mean, there's just so many faces that you will recognize in this, and that you'll just be like, "Oh my God, that's Sweets from Bones!" You know, like, you just—it's hilarious. But really good stuff. Like, it just amazed me that there weren't more seasons of it. But you know what? Shit happens. Like I said, I watch the credits and I go, oh my God, it's created by Judd Apatow, directed by Paul Feig from Bridesmaids and what's his other one? The Heat. So it's just like, oh my God, you know, like, what? It's really funny. So, you know, we're indulging a little bit on the weekends. And I guess it's just that there's just so much out there. I told you guys we got hooked on Salem Rogers. I'm happy to announce that they did get commissioned. I don't know if that means that they'll have an entire series, but they'll definitely have a few more episodes. So that's great news. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. So yeah, we really need to decide carefully what we're going to binge on. I think is the lesson, is the thought provoking thing that we need to focus on. Like, how are we going to do this? How are we gonna make it last a little bit? I mean, we'll all be talking about it for like a month afterwards, but that's not enough. So I don't know. Choice is yours. In other news, you know, you guys know about this model, Cara Delevingne. She pretty much sucks face with every girl out there. There were rumors of her snogging on Taylor Swift. She was seen, I think, with Kristen Stewart before. she was once with Harry Styles, so we know she likes girls. But now she's rumored to be caught kissing singer St. Vincent. Have you heard of her? So anyways, you know what? I say more power to you, girl. You know what? I think the next person you should be working your mojo on is Rosie O'Donnell, because she officially filed for divorce this week. Like, her and Michelle have been separated since November, but she officially filed for divorce. So get working on that, will you, Kara? In hottie news, I just want to, you know, I talked a lot about Elfest over here in July, but there's another festival in Germany that happens every April, and that is called El Beach. And just announced this week, Kathy DeBono will be at El Beach. So that's big news. Like, if you're a CDB fan, as I know you are, you know, Crazy Bitches is out, and that's all over the film festival circuits right now. So that's a great chance to see Kathy there if you're in the States. But if you're in Europe, you can see her in Germany. It's April 23rd through the 26th. And I can't think of anything I would like to see more than Kathy DeBono surrounded by a bunch of German lesbians. So that is official fun right there. Just saying, official fun. You know, Glee is coming to an end. I've talked about this, and I'm okay with it. I'm not the biggest Glee fan there is, although this year I had a resurgence of Santana lust. Can't lie about that. But you know, it's had its run, and there's people that I won't lie to you. There's people that I won't miss, and that is Lea Michele. I think overexposure is one way of putting it. Like, I think we were just really overexposed. There will be people I will miss. I will miss Dot Marie Jones. I will miss Little Curdy, Chris Colfer. But I won't miss Lea Michele. We don't have to worry about missing Jane Lynch, because she just signed on to do a new sitcom called Angel from Hell. So she will be right back on our TVs. And I know she has a game show too that she hosts. So there will be no lack of Jane Lynch. Darren Criss, I'm on the fence about him. Cord Overstreet, on the fence about him. But you know, Darren Criss, I feel like he is probably going to be the one that appreciates Glee coming to an end more than anyone, because I can't imagine that he's been okay with dressing like a gigantic nerd from 1940 every day for the last 4 or 5 years. Like, he must be happy not to have all that greasy shit in his hair and a bow tie on and those tight pants. I mean, who knows? Maybe that's the look that he likes. I don't think so, because I follow him on Instagram and he looks like a normal human being. And I think for him, he needs a break. He needs a break from that look. So I'm actually happy that Glee is, that we're all weaning off of Glee. So that's good news. In a little bit of news that I'm going to call Bitter Party of One, I have to say the podcast awards. I don't know if you guys know about the podcast awards. This is an award show. It's not even a show. It's like a big website, and maybe they do stream it. I don't know, but it gets talked about more and more every year, and there's a ton of categories. And I just want to say that they officially announced their nominees, and we did not make the list. In my defense, I didn't promote it enough to ask you to vote, because I didn't like their voting process. I went on and I looked at it, and it was tedious, and it was long, and it was drawn out, and I didn't want to put any of my listeners through it, so I didn't promote it. So I just want to say, fuck you, Podcast Awards. But on a good note, my buddy Joey from up in Buffalo that does Cocktails and Cream Puffs on Rainbow Radio was nominated. So if you do want to take on this massive undertaking of voting, you can vote for Cocktails and Cream Puffs. Anyway, the Dyna announced their Celesbian lineup for 2015, and it is a virtual who's who of Eileen Chaikin castoffs again this year, including Romy, Rose, Laura, and Rachel from The Real L Word, Cameron Stewart and Amber Cameron from the real L Word Mississippi. Tracy Ryerson. I'm not even joking. The couple, Cameron Stewart and Amber Cameron. That's a lot of Cameron in one couple. Ugh. Tracy Ryerson will be there. She's the only standout person that's ever been involved in a real L Word. But though there, anybody who's ever been in a web series will be there. Ilea Matthews from Kiss Me, I'm Famous. Nikki Carter from Cherry Bomb. It's not a Dino weekend without Nikki Caster. Nicole Payson, Lisa Corleone from Easy Abby. Delilah will be there. Laura Zach and Caitlin Burke from Hashtag. So anybody that's ever been in a web series will be there. Jamie Babbitt has lowered her standards. She will be at another Dinah, so looking forward to that. And I don't know. It's just, it blows my mind. It's, it is. It's actually a bunch of real L Word cast off from like 2008. And they'll all be on hand, and they'll be milking their meteoric rise to low-level fame. So well done to you, reality show hot mess people. This is your free ticket to sun, booze, cocaine, and probably a sexually transmitted disease. Have a blast. Lastly, 50 Shades of Go Fuck Yourself was number one at the box office again. I can't even. I don't even know what to say. I can't even. I can't look at Dakota Johnson's face anymore. Jesus Christ. All right, you know what? Let's lighten up. Brighter notes. I am proud to bring you this delicious little nugget of lesbianic goodness called Kittens in a Cage. I don't know if you've heard about this, but let me just play a little bit of the song. That's right. Kittens in a Cage. Can't go wrong there, right? So I want you to like stop what you're doing and just go to kittensinacage.com. Just do it. Just do it before you forget. Do it. You'll thank me. I'm not lying. Kittens in a Cage is a Vimeo on-demand web series created by Jillian Armenente. I hope I'm saying that right. Jillian Armenente. And, you know, long before Orange is the New Black, Jillian was working on this. It's based on a play. And it kind of takes place like in the 40s, I want to say. And it's got music. It's got lesbians. It's got prison. It's got everything you want. It's got the thief. It's got the cannibal. It's got the pyromaniac, the axe murderer, the pill popper, the ukulele player. It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. You can rent the videos for $1.99 and they last about a week. Or you can rent all of them for $10.99 and you've got a week to stream them all. Or you can buy them all for $15.99 and stream them, download them, and you got them forever. So it's really, really well done. It is absolutely amazing. I'm not even going to lie to you. I laughed. I love that there's music, there's singing, there's sex, there is overt sexual gestures. The cast is absolutely incredible. They have got some amazing cameos. I want to personally thank Jill Bennett for bringing this to my attention, because if it weren't for Jill Bennett, I would probably, she mentioned this when we hung out, I long forgot about it, and here it is done and ready for you. And Jill reminded me of it and then hooked me up with Jillian Armenente to do a half an hour interview. And I'm so psyched, because Jillian, you'll recognize her instantly when you see her face. She was in Bad Teacher, she with Cameron Diaz and Justin Timberlake. She was like the other teacher, the friend, and easily recognizable. She's in Fresh Off the Boat. You can see her in that. Very talented, very funny, and very, very interesting. I loved my chat with her. And we talked about Kittens in a Cage. We talked about her. She spent a little time in the UK, and I love that about her. It's just, it's just really, really well done. Like, I can't wait to get through them. They're so much fun. And, I mean, there is nothing wrong with a little more lesbian content out there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to play you my interview with Jillian. But like I said, I want you to go to kittensinacage.com. Check it all out. There's some amazing cameos. Jill Bennett, in the first 5 minutes, I love the fact that Jill Bennett is right there. You got Tyne Daly, Amy Brenneman, Jason Ritter, Joel McHale, all making cameos in this. And that's just a few. There's more. Michelle Monaghan. I can go on and on and on. But check out the website. Do yourself a favor. Just rent them for the week if you want. Rent them one by one when you have time. But you are definitely going to get hooked on this. And like I said, Jillian was working on this before Orange is the New Black. But this is a nice, you know, it's a nice little binge fest as we're awaiting the next season of Orange with the same, you know, kittens in a cage. Think about it. Think about it while you listen to this interview with Jillian Armanente. I had so much fun, and I just want to thank her for giving me a half an hour of her time, which is unheard of for how busy she is. So thank you again, Jillian, and here you guys go. Are you doing all right? You doing okay?
I'm doing great.
Well, I'm doing fantastic. I just finished watching my first episode of Kittens in a Cage.
Oh, excellent.
And then I told my wife I was watching it, and she said, don't wait for me to get home. So now I can't watch the rest until Thursday.
It gets very steamy later. I think you're going to appreciate it. You might want to wait for the wife.
I should. I probably should. I have to anyways. It's just part of what we do. I can't even watch my weekly shows until she works away a couple of days a week. I can't do anything until she gets back. So, but yeah,
where do you guys live?
In London.
Where in London?
I'm in Wallington. We're in Wallington, and she works all the way up in, this month, she works up in Birmingham. And normally she's in.
Wow!
I know it's quite a trek for her, so she stays up
there.
Yeah, she'll stay up there, and then normally she just works in Basingstoke, which is still a good hour or so away. But she works for Virgin Media, so she's on a big project. Okay. Yeah, so we do good with the telecom, that's for sure. But
a great company Virgin is, man.
Yeah, she absolutely.
Everything right, don't they?
They kind of do. I have to say, they kind of do. Although, I couldn't watch the Oscars last night. I was like frantically. I was frantically looking for them on TV, and then I realized they don't air them until tonight. So, you know.
Oh, you're kidding. Well, yeah. You're not much better off than we are because the middle of Hollywood went off the whole power grid because of a storm.
No.
Right before they announced Best Picture.
Are you serious? Oh, my God.
I'm totally serious. I live right by Paramount Studios, and everybody, you know, Neil was like, here's my prediction for the... And I'm gone. Hilarious.
That's so funny.
Facebook just blew up like, no! It was
hilarious. Out of everything I've read all day long today, I didn't see one thing about that. Oh, my God. That's really funny.
It might have been just in the inner core. I mean, I don't think it was all of L.A. or anything, but it was definitely, you know, a lot of Hollywood. So it was right. It was literally, you know, there is no Hollywood anymore because it's no longer a city.
Yeah.
But it was right by a whole neighborhood surrounding Paramount Studios. We had no idea who won Best Picture. I do now, but I won't tell you. So.
No, I've read the list numerous times now. You know, the funny part is, like, I tell myself, like, every now and then, I'm just going to stay away from social media and just wait until Monday night to watch it, but it just never happens that way, and I get it all, you know, through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and get it, you know, see everything.
Right. Where'd you grow up?
I was born and raised in Niagara Falls, just outside of Buffalo, and then I lived in Florida for, like, 25 years, so...
Oh, right, I'm where in Florida?
Right near Fort Lauderdale, just a little bit between Fort Lauderdale and Boca Raton. So, yeah.
That's how my lovely wife went to FSU. That's why I asked.
Oh, really? Woo! There you go. Yeah. Yay! You know, the funny thing is like, I feel like I've always lived in weather extremes, you know, like Buffalo for the cold and Florida for the heat. And now this is just a perfect blend of it all. Like, there's actually four solid seasons here. That I remember now. It's like you know, this is what I'm talking about. Just a little bit of everything and no big time push in anyone. You know, I mean, Florida was like, you know, there was no season. It was just hot and hotter and tourists.
Right.
And then in Buffalo was just cold and colder. So this is perfect weather wise. This is perfect.
Oddly enough, I went from living in London to living in Seattle, which is
the same
thing.
Until
I got to LA, and then I was like, oh, people live like this? That's great.
That's so funny. Yeah, you said you were in Elephant and Castle. You lived in Elephant and Castle. That's funny. That's one of my favorite, when we're driving by, it's one of the most recognizable tube stations for me. I know exactly where we are when I see that.
I mean, I lived in the council flats, or we squatted in the council flats right behind, right there on Clayton Deacon Way, as I recall.
Oh, my God.
And we got kicked out by the bailiff, and then the minute he rode down the elevator, we broke back in and lived there for another, 4 or 5 months.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the 80s.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious.
Or don't.
And then Seattle. Yeah, weather-wise, you were just under the cloud.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, well, in Seattle, you know, it didn't matter when you were 20 years old and living inside a theater, you know, you sort of made your own sun. But I was there during the, you know, the whole grunge thing, and the theater annex that I worked at, you know, Kurt Cobain and with Nirvana played in our theater. You know, it was that time when Sub Pop Records was really taking off and stuff. And so, you know, I lived 1,000 lives in Seattle after 1,000 lives in London. So.
Oh, wow, I'll say.
I've had fun, Denise.
You sure? Sounds like you have. And then came Hollywood a calling, because I, you know, when Jill, the lovely Jill Bennett, who took a baseball bat to the face, right off the bat, I'm like, wow.
I know, what a sport.
She is something else, man, I know. When she sent me the link and I immediately, you know, looked at it, the first thing I said was, I know her from Bad Teacher. That was the first thing I said when I saw your picture.
Yeah. Right on.
Oh, that was like so fun. How fun was that?
Which? Bad Teacher hit Jill Bennett in the face with a baseball bat.
Well, we'll just go with Bad Teacher on that.
Bad Teacher was super fun. That was one of those things where they called me. You know, I played drums like in sixth grade or something insane. I played like Hawaii 5-0 theme or something. And they called me like, can you play the drums? And I was like, in a movie? Play the drums? Or like, play the drums. They're like, in a movie, you know. I'm like Partridge Family playing drums? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, sure, I can do that. And then I showed up on the set and Jake Kasdan, who's no slouch.
Right.
He looks at me, he's like, you're playing drums, right? And I was like, well, kind of. And he's like, no, you're actually playing drums. And I'm like, okay. Behind Justin Timberlake. And I was like, when? He was like, Wednesday.
Wow. So it's not like when people list it on the resume, just to list it on the resume, like, you did have to really know how to play drums.
Oh, yeah. And I called, actually, you'll see the drummer, my friend Angie Scarpa, who later, he plays one of the musical sequences in Kittens in a Cage. I like shacked up with her, and I was like, teach you the drums. It was like 2 days. And I knew the basic principles. I mean, I wasn't like that dumb, but I sat and just played on, you know, a bucket in my trailer for like 3 days.
Oh my God.
It was fun. I loved it. I had a great time. There was a couple scenes cut there that I hope were on the DVD. I'm not sure, I haven't checked it out yet, but it was pretty fun shooting that. And Cameron Diaz is a total babe.
Is she a hoot? She seems like she would be fun, and I hate if she hasn't, don't tell me. But she seems like she would be.
No, she's awesome. No, she's like, oh my God, like, she was really friendly, and she was just great. Everybody on that movie was really nice.
It just, yeah, it did definitely seem like a lot of fun. We just watched.
Well, I just, like, wolf whistled her the whole time. That's all I did. Yeah! Bring it. She's walking around, like, hey!
That's so funny.
Of course, you know. Of course, we had a great time.
That's hilarious, man. You're bring out
I'm
your.
I'm doing a, right now. I'm doing a TV show that you probably don't get over there.
Never know. Try me.
Produced by the same producer, Jake Kasdan, who did Bad Teacher. He also is doing this new show on ABC called Fresh Off the Boat.
Oh, I've been hearing about it and seeing it. I think we're gonna get it eventually. Like, that's what happens.
Cool.
You know, like, we're always, like, just a step behind everybody with everything. So I think we might get it.
Your acting talent is a step ahead, so it evens out, I think.
I can't wait to see it. I do hear so many good things about it. People are always posting clips and links and pictures, and it sounds fantastic.
It's the first Asian show on network television here in the United States for 20 years.
And you so perfectly cast for that with your Asian background and all.
Yes, exactly.
It's exactly. So funny. No, I do.
Anyway, I play some, like, dummy waitress in the restaurant, which is hilarious. But that came out of Bad Teacher.
Oh, that's so awesome. Isn't that great, though, the way everything kind of just continues on? Remember me? Remember me? Yeah.
Actors are nomads, man.
Yeah, I'll say.
They'll follow the free wine and cheese party wherever it is.
You have to. Okay, you kind of have to. I have a cousin that's been out there. I'm in my 40s, so he's just a year or two younger than me. So he's been out there for like 25 years. And I'll never forget, like, once in my 30s, he emailed me and said, I'm going to be on The Nanny. And so I watched The Nanny, and he was like, man in lineup. And, you know, he's been plugging away ever since. you gotta be resilient, man. I'll tell you, I always said, I can't stand getting rejected for anything. So I would never be able to deal with that. you're blessed type.
You know, if you don't take it personally, if you just take it like you're fishing and you're in a boat, and sometimes the fish is lean, and sometimes the big fatty jumps in the boat when you're not even trying. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Literally is fishing. You can't take it personally.
And yet, that's all it is. Like, you know, you're too tall, you're too blonde, you're too this, you're too that. It's all so personal. It cracks me up. It's the only place where
you're a short, dumpy lesbian.
It's like the only place that discrimination is perfectly okay. It's just perfectly okay for a reason not to work. You know, it's great. I love it. But but this is the thing that I love most about these kinds of projects, like what you're doing, like Kittens in a Cage. Yeah. Like, you just kind of go, and I, you know, it's almost like it's just now coming about to everybody that the internet is the place to put your stuff now, because there's nobody holding you back. There's nobody telling you what you can and can't do. If you've raised the funds, then you do the project that you want to do. And I just think it's fantastic,
right?
Because everybody can do what they want to do. And something like this that is so funny. And first of all, I didn't know there was music in it. I was like, whoa, I'm digging this. I'm so digging it. You've got a phenomenal.
We made all of this music. Like, we made the music.
You had
Vintage Trouble, who's huge over in the UK. I think they just finished a tour there. I went to college with Ty Taylor. So, you know, when I put this together, I naturally called Ty. I'm like, dude, do us right. Let's get into the studio and make a Kittens in a Cage song. And he was like, you got it.
It's so good.
Our bass three and our, you know, whatever. And we just laid it down in a couple hours and we filmed it. And then the other song, I don't know if you got to see the Constantine song at all.
I did, the Jesus song.
There's if you look on the internet, actually, if you look under extras on the webpage, there's American Idol. There's two American Idols in the project.
Really?
But one of the songs I wrote and called my neighbor growing up, and he plays Jesus as well. But it's called All I Ask, and I've cut it to, you know, the lovely relationship between the girls. But check it out, because he literally was my neighbor growing up, and he was my paper boy, and, you know.
So oh, cute.
But the song pretty much shreds it, and we just, I threw a camera on it, and I literally caught it on the airplane, and it, like, blasted all over the internet the next day.
I
don't have to check it to 15 people, I don't have to do anything, I just get to go, like, oh, look at this, guys, and I get to put it out, you know.
Yeah, that's what's so great. I mean, and you got, like, you got so many great cameos. Like, I love Tyne Daly. I worked for Sharon Gless for a little bit when I first got here in London.
Oh, cool.
For about a week or so or whatever, just helping out because her personal assistant had to go back to the States. And because I'd known Sharon and we got together when she first got here and just, you know, did an interview and had fun, her assistant was like, do you want to hang with her for like a week? Because she knows you and she's comfortable. And I'm like, yeah. It wasn't even like work. So I did actually get to meet Tyne Daly because that was right when Sharon's play opened and Tyne came over to see it. So it was really cool. I mean, like, and you've got Tyne Daly, you got Amy Brenneman, Jason Ritter. I mean, there's so many names attached to this. What would, like...
Misha Collins is coming. You haven't seen it yet, but he's... Joel McHale.
Yes.
Like, throws down in this. It's so funny. And he's an old friend of mine from Seattle.
Oh my God, he kills me. I grew up on The Soup, and then somebody just yesterday was it? Yeah, my writing group was over, and this girl just whips out a DVD of Community, and she goes, "Do you ever watch this?" I'm like, yes, I do. So it's just like, wow, like whoa. But yeah, it's just you got such great names attached to it. Like you just shove a script under their nose and be like, "You wanna?" And they go, "Yeah, okay."
Well, I mean, honestly, not even. I mean, here's the thing. When you're, like, a character actress who's been kicking around Los Angeles for 20 years, like I said, actors are nomads.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some time in New York. I did some time in Seattle. I did some time in L.A. And, you know, you run into people. You work with people. You like people. You know what I mean? It becomes more about friendships and relationships. So it's not like I'm getting something out of them. It's like... So most of the time, they want to play. They want to get out of, like, the system that they're in and just go in and, like, rip it. Rip it unchecked without network executives or anybody. It's just, like, have a good time. And when you see the rest of the piece, you'll see what I'm talking about because, they get to play. You know, Tyne Daly showed up and was like, I'd like a curler in my hair. And I'd like to say pickled relish instead of relish. You know, and I'm like, this is an outrage. What are you thinking? You hack. You know, you're like, of course, do what you want. You know what I mean?
So, isn't it like, that's the greatest thing.
Yeah.
It's so great. Like, that's what I love about this kind of stuff. I mean, like, the approach is, it's just so different and so refreshing. And, like, I feel like just now people are starting to see the differences, and that's exactly what you just mentioned, the differences of what you'll see you know, with your online content as opposed to what you'll see that's so restricted, like with networks. And I love
right.
it. And I think it is
and,
really
and don't
refreshing.
Don't get me wrong, I love network television
sure.
as well. I mean, it's how I've made my living.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's freeing. It's freeing to be able to take a pot of water and a rock and be like, okay, what do you got? Carrots? Good. You got parsley? Oh, you got some meat. Awesome.
Yeah.
Pop that in there.
Yeah.
Like, and then, you know what I mean? And it turns into an amazing meal that you didn't know, you know, instead of following a recipe, you don't know what people are going to bring.
Yes,
you trust.
It really is. It's like Italian cooking.
Yeah.
It really is.
Are you Italian?
Yes. Don't measure anything. Don't write anything down. I know. My dad was half English and half Italian, but my mom, full on Italian.
I'm half Irish, Scottish. I'm Irish, Scottish, and Italian.
Yeah, you got that, that's a good
like
mixture.
Italian cooking.
Exactly. That's so fun. It's
you got to go impulse.
It's so true. Just taste along the way. But that's, was this a brainchild? Like, did you just have this stewing in your head for a really long time and then finally, you know, and finally was able to put it all together? Or was it just like one day you sat down and went, you know, it would be funny? Because it's fantastic.
Well, no, actually how it came together was pretty swell. You know, I told you I was you know, a little ratty actor in Seattle for many years. And I worked and helped make this company called Annex Theater, which is still in existence like 28 years later or something.
Oh, wow.
And we all, you know, we all made...
The Annex Theater.
Oh, good. Yeah. So they had a hit play going on called Kittens in a Cage. And I talked to
old friends. I'm like, please hook me up with this playwright. I would love, although I've never seen the play. I said, I really want to read this script because I've been actively looking for something to either write myself or adapt or shoot, because I'm also an award-winning theater playwright and director and whatnot. And I read this script, and I really damn near peed myself a couple times. And,
it's so great.
Yeah.
It's so great.
So I met the playwright. Colleen and I became great friends, and I adapted it to screenplay and, you know, added scenes and, you know, sort of did my producer's touch on it, and like that. And she's coming down next week, and we're gonna hit it again.
Oh my God, it's so fun. It, like, at first it had that like a comedic Chicago feel to it, and then with Orange Is the New Black being, you know, at the height of its crazy success, it was that Girls in Prison kind of thing. And it just, I mean, it's just ticking all the boxes, which makes it just fantastic. And though it's,
well, what's kind of crazy is if you look back at our original Kickstarter, we started this way before Orange Is the New Black came on screen.
Oh, did you really? Oh my God.
Yeah, but because, you know, because we're scrappy, roll up your sleeves, micro budget.
Right, right.
We didn't beat the deadline by far. And honestly, gun to my head, I have never seen an episode of Orange Is the New Black, and because I didn't want to be influenced.
Right, right. So, I can't. Yeah, exactly.
They've been pretty swell at tweeting out. We just launched, you know, a couple days ago, and their Twitter account has been pretty swell about blasting us out. So,
oh, that's so
really
cute. Oh, sisterly love.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, there's absolutely nothing. Other than the fact that it's women in prison, it's nothing like that. But I love the fact that you guys, it takes place like in the, is it the 50s? Kind of?
Yeah, it's a sort of a 50s kind of feel, yeah.
And it's got, the lingo kills me. It absolutely kills me. That part of it, like, I was like being myself. Like, that's the funniest part to it, is that everybody's lingo is hilarious. But I
know, all the actors are so committed to it. I mean, there's some stuff coming. I can't wait for you. I will sort of talk to you after you watch the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. But keep going. Well, geez, I don't want to let anything out either. I get it. So, but I just think the concept and the casting, and it's just so well done. Like I said, music being peppered all throughout was a complete surprise. Like, caught me completely off guard. But I just absolutely, I'm loving it. I can't wait for people to get, like, really, even myself, like I said, I just, you know, I love my wife, but I do want to give her a little bit of a thunder punch for being gone this week, because I just want to get into it. And
oh, no, that's totally cool. That's totally cool. I love, you know, and the fact that you're in London is, I think, is pretty swell. We have, you know, I got some Green Wing. You know Green Wing?
Yeah, yes.
The show?
Yes.
There's a couple writers from there that have been, like, tweeting us out, like, left and right. I think they saw it and fell in love with it. And that to me is like an honor. You know, Faye Russling and Orion Messina, like, writing us out.
Yeah. Wow.
They're the Green Wing writers, and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah. I've got a group I'm gonna totally put you in touch with, because they're fantastic. Their organization is called Planet London. And the girls are just, they're award winning, and they're so community supportive over here, and they love to sink their teeth into a new project. And they'll do the interview and everything, and their site gets tons of traffic, and they're so visible. They're out at Student Pride next month and London Pride this summer. So we do a ton of things together, and I can't wait to tell them about this. We talked a little bit.
I submitted because I went to school in London at the time. It was hoping a 6 poly, but I think it's the university. Not because of me, though. But, you know, I keep submitting for film festivals trying to get to London with this. You know what I mean? Just
yes.
I love it so much. And I've been back a couple times over the years. And so, yeah, anything related. After Ellen did us right, they really hooked us up with a nice article. And so we're so excited about it. And we're like a sick little family. Like, we really, it's been in the can for a while, but we see each other weekly.
Oh.
From the, you know, from me to the, you know, the actors to, like, the PAs, like, we're still all friends, and, you know, it's pretty great. We're family.
It's so good. And everybody's got, like, such huge fan followings. Like, I know Jill does, and I can't even imagine with all the faces you've got in this. It should be fantastic. And I remember her telling me little bits and pieces before, and then I just, you know, kind of forgot about it. And then when she sent me the link, as soon as I saw the name, I was like, oh yeah. I'm like, I'm super excited. So I just feel like I got to tell the world. So I'm going to start with the podcast. Awesome. And then, and from there, hopefully, you know, geez, anybody that I bump into with a laptop at this point.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, let me know, point me towards your podcast so I could point my people towards your podcast.
I most definitely will. Most definitely. Most definitely.
That's where the streaming files are. And if you check it out on there, I want you to check out some of those music videos click under the extras tab and check out the hot music we have going on there, because we're still populating that with music. I'm literally still cutting music pieces and putting it on there.
Oh, that's great.
I don't think your wife will be mad if you look just a couple of the extras and the interviews.
Yeah, true. I'll definitely do a little poking around, but I just can't fully get into the episodes without her. So
I understand.
But I'm super excited. As soon as you said things heat up, I was like, okay. Very good. Very good. Did you find it difficult to get anybody attached with that aspect, or were they just all on board no matter what? Cool.
And then, you know, all the special cameos or actors that I've worked with before, I've done them favors and they've done me favors. I mean, we have some big heavy hitters in there. I don't know if you know Felicia Day is in this. She made the most popular web series of all time called The Guild. And obviously Joel McHale and Misha Collins and Michelle Monaghan.
Michelle Monaghan, yes.
Pretty significant.
Yeah. Amy Brenneman.
I mean, there's just some like really heavy hitter acting-wise. Coming up in here, you know, I think because they wanted to have fun and join us.
Yeah.
The other cool thing is, we showed it in a tiny little thing, and this company called TV4 contacted us to distribute it.
That's pretty cool.
TV4 is a brand new multimedia company, and they're awesome. And the guy who runs it, Nick Turner, is a Brit.
Oh.
Who you should look up, because he was the... I believe he was a drummer in the goth 80s band Lords of the New Church.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
There it is.
I've never heard of it, but I know everybody here probably knows it. So
that's what I mean. Like, yeah. It's such a British thing. And my producer, this might go way too back for you. I'm just trying to think of all the Brits involved. His mother is the British actress Jane Carr.
That sounds familiar.
Was in the RSC production of Nicholas Nickleby. She actually did a couple of things and helped with the project, but she, you know, she was in, you know, the prime of Miss Jean Brody as the lead girl. And so she's been kicking it for years and years and years. And this is his first production as a producer, Dash Arnott. So his dad was in the Secaucus 7. So there's all these crazy links all over, you know, to the Brits and I love the Brits, of course. And, of course, our band, our theme song band, Vintage Trouble, was number one on the UK Amazon charts for years.
They're fantastic. I love the theme. I love it. Love the theme. Absolutely. That was the first thing that caught my attention when it started. I'm like, I'm already digging this. I'm already digging it. That's cool. Awesome. That it's so cool. Like I said, this is the kind of project that we just love to get behind and get the word out. And I will definitely put you in touch with all the other organizations here, even some of the film festivals that I know people on, and we'll see if we can't do for you what we did for Jill Bennett and get you over here this summer.
Oh my God, I would do anything. I actually have a couple of friends. I could even crash it out.
Excellent.
I really do.
It is. It's just.
I don't know that I'm still back in the Tufnell Park Tavern, as I recall. But we'll see. Maybe they forgot what I look like.
Go in, squatter, squatter. There she is. What a welcome. Oh, that's too funny. Oh, Jillian, I totally appreciate you taking all this time out of your day for us at My Lesbian Radio. We like I said, I can't say enough good things about this. I can't, we'll be putting it all over our social media and whatever we can do to help. Please, anybody that's, that wants to talk about it or whatever, point them in my direction.
Yeah, sure. And if you watch the rest of the show and you want to talk to anybody else, let me know.
I most definitely will.
I'll hook you up.
Excellent. Okay, thanks so much. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Okay, you're a babe.
Take care. Oh, that was, it was so fun. And, you know, I just want to say, I'm so sorry that we got screwed up a little bit. Our phone got disconnected. We were having a really difficult time and I had to use my landline. It doesn't come in as clear, but I'm sure you get the gist of it. Jillian, she's very funny, very talented. And again, it is the best use of your money right there. Not going to lie to you right there. So what else do we have? Where are we at? We got chick music. I think we're at chick music. And this is really, this is so funny. Sometimes I get tipped off on music, and I go immediately to the website and I listen. If I like it, I download it and I play it again. And then I don't even know whether this person, and I shouldn't care. I shouldn't care what their sexuality is. I know that, but I want to be able to talk like I know what I'm doing. And I didn't have a chance to find out all that much about this artist that I found. But let me tell you a little bit of the backstory. I follow Trish Bendix. I'm sure everybody knows Trish from After Ellen. She lives the gayest lesbianic life I've ever dreamed of living. Like, totally lesbianic life, everything about it. And that's fantastic. Like, some of us, maybe we can't be out at work. Or, you know, maybe we spend more time with our families so we don't get to talk about our things, our issues or whatnot. Trish's life is just like one lesbian event after another. Like if you go to After Ellen, it's like everything about it is like Trish's content. So you know that she is covering every single lesbian thing that's happening in the universe. So I follow her on Twitter. She tweeted that she was addicted to this new song by Holly Miranda called All I Want to Be Is Your Girl, or All I Want Is to Be Your Girl. So I took a minute and I checked it out and I went and looked at Holly Miranda's site. And I got to tell you, I was very impressed. And as I was, as I was going through the music and reading up on her and everything, I'm like, geez, I don't see anything in whether she's out, if she's a lesbian, if not. But I thought, you know what? If Trish Bendix knows about her, she probably is. And I'm just saying, I'm assuming, I know that's wrong. I'm assuming that she is. And then I went to her Twitter. I went to her Twitter and I looked to see who was following her. And that is when I noticed that the Modern L Word Queer Music Podcast, they're following her. So I thought, huh, all right. Mary Lambert, Lindsay Hicks, Les Lieb, Tracy Ryerson, Curve Magazine, Linda Anderson. I'm like, okay, all right. So I want to play a little bit of Holly Miranda's song, All I Want Is to Be Your Girl, because I do like this song. Good stuff, right? Trish knows her shit. That's Holly Miranda. Let's talk a little bit about her. There's some stuff here that I found at hollymiranda.com. And you can follow her on Twitter, too, at Holly Miranda. So the cool thing is on her sophomore release, Holly Miranda nods at her singer-songwriter roots, but also pushes herself in new directions. She co-produced the album with Florent Barbier, and tracks like Desert Call and Everlasting show off straightforward songwriting, a soulful delivery, and a lighter orchestration that places Miranda alongside songwriters who can make heartache sound beautiful. After half of her life spent on stage or in a recording studio with her former rock band, The Jealous Girlfriends, and more recently as a solo artist, Miranda is still experimenting and diving in for deeper truths. Her last album, The Magician's Private Library, is a masterpiece collection of heart. And after some time in the Joshua Tree, Holly has reemerged with her self-titled CD due out May 19th, and you can pre-order that on iTunes right now. It's due out May 19th, and I'm giving you the sneaky peek of All I Want Is to Be Your Girl. So the CD itself, Holly Miranda, out May 19th. So definitely check that out. It's really, really good stuff. I always try and steer you guys as best as I can, and I think I did a pretty good job with this one. So, I found some really cool stuff. I wasn't even really like looking that much this week. We're getting lucky because, you know, shit is just out there. I mean, that's good news for us. Ella Henderson, love this song, Glow. Love her. I'm really, really in love with this girl. She was at the Brit Awards too. Didn't win, but she was there. Cool, right? So I found a golden nugget again. Thank you, Twitter. This one is called Slam Sister Design. I know. SlamSisterDesigns.com. Check this out. This is a majorly cool UK site with some completely rad girl works, including cards, postcards, posters, prints, and a really cool calendar. You can go to the website, check it out. Slam Sister Designs features a variety of products designed especially for lesbians by lesbian artists. The site was launched in May 2014 and started with a dozen or so greeting cards for different occasions. And then they added cards, posters, and prints and slam stuff. All designs are drawn by Emma, who studied fine art and animation at Central St. Martin's School of Art and Design in London. And she also has a slam blog. So to find out more, you can follow them on Twitter at Slam Sister Designs. Coming soon, they're going to have some sexy deluxe prints. I'm looking forward to that. They have Emma's Choice, which I love. It's a really, really cool site. It's very cute. The animation is absolutely incredible. Such talent. I mean, we're a lucky group, man. Really cool stuff. So check them out, slamsisterdesigns.com. Loving it. I understand that the people in the northwest of the states are still getting slammed with snow. And I've said this before, my heart goes out to you guys, man. I don't even know what to say anymore. It's a fucking ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous what you're going through. It's crazy. I see people, I can feel it in their Facebook posts, how sick of it. Hey, easy. How sick of it that they really are. And I thought, you know, for a drink, I want to look towards spring on your behalf. And I found a really good drink called the Blueberry Rum Smash. And it's not labor intensive. I mean, let's be honest, every drink out there now that's worth your dollar take some muddling. So if that's the most you have to do, big fucking deal, right? So here it is. You need a handful of fresh blueberries, a tablespoon of brown sugar, 3/4 ounce of fresh squeezed lemon juice, 2 ounces of rum, and some ginger ale. And what you're going to do is take up like a nice heavy bar glass, like an old-fashioned glass, or even a mason jar. Put your blueberries in there, add your brown sugar and your lemon juice, and muddle it really well. You can even use the back of a spoon or whatever, a fork, or if you don't have an actual muddler. You don't have to, you know, be intense about it. And grind it all up. And then you don't want to mash it into a pulp. But anyways, so then add your ice and add your rum. And I'm going to say 1.5 ounces of rum. And then just top it off with some ginger ale and stir. It's really refreshing. It's really good. And maybe it'll, in your heart, make you think of spring. Just don't look out the window when you're drinking it. Okay, so events, you've heard me talking. I can't say it enough. March 28th, Love, Loss, and Bowling. The new album by Eek will be launching at the Dark Horse in Moseley. It's £5. You can buy your tickets at the door. Beth Pryor is opening act. Everything kicks off at 8 p.m. Beth will take the stage at 8:30, and Eek will follow immediately. And like I said, big surprises. I will be hosting the events of the evening, and I'm super excited to be a part of it. In the States, on March 27th, the Women's Art Show at the Pride Center is happening. This is a big deal. The theme this year is icons, so we're celebrating women artists. You can buy the art. The women will be on hand. They have DJs. They have a dance troupe. They have food. They have drinks. It'll be amazing. And this is your support is so welcomed at something like this. It's much needed. It brings such attention to these artists. And then on March 30th, this is a big night for Polari. It's Monday, March 30th. Sarah Waters is going to be there. They've moved to the Purcell Room, Queen Elizabeth Hall at South Bank Center. It's a bigger room. It's still at South Bank Center, but it's at Queen Elizabeth Hall in the Purcell Room. Tickets are £5. You can buy them online. It's going to sell out really fast. It's Sarah Waters, people. Tipping the Velvet, Fingersmith, you know what I'm talking about. So it's going to be huge. They're really opening it up to a bigger room because they know it's going to be jam-packed. I suggest getting your tickets early for that. It should be one hell of an evening. I really, really appreciate you guys sticking this out with me here in the Lesbian Lounge. Again, if you have anything you want to add, send me an email at deniseanddonna@gmail.com. I know everybody's questioning, where is Donna? What's going on? Why isn't she here? She's around. She's busy. She's working. Remember, she's got a grandkid. She just got married. She's got 19,000 jobs. There's nothing wrong with us. We're in touch. We're in contact. Everything is good. I love her with all my heart and with all my food. So I hope that you guys have a great couple of weeks. I will be back as soon as I can. And I appreciate you sticking it out and hanging in. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.